Father, we just want to thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, that we can gather today in your name, knowing that you are here in our midst, Father. Lord God, we just want to give you all the glory. We thank you, Lord, that you are so faithful to draw near to us when we draw near to you. You are so faithful to speak to us when we listen. So, Father, Lord, come and strengthen us in our faith, Lord. Continue, Lord, this work in us, Lord. Continue equipping us to fulfill the calling that you've placed on each one of our lives. And I bless each one here in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, so we've been speaking about the new life that we have in Christ. And that is our point of departure this morning, that we have a new life in Christ, that we've made that commitment, that decision to follow Him. We have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Our spirit has come alive to God. Everyone that has proclaimed Jesus as Lord has received the Holy Spirit, not in a half measure, but in a full measure, the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I'm not talking specifically about the anointing of the Holy Spirit, but we've received the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And Joyce Meyer says that after salvation, all you have to do is two things, pray and obey. Sounds simple enough, isn't it? So this morning, title is Go With The Flow. Seems like there was a bit of a joke going around the office this week. 4 weeks ago, the message was come out, referring to Lazarus and us stepping from darkness to light and death to life. And then 2 weeks ago, I spoke about, you know, Lazarus, don't go back. That was the title. So I could have called this one Lazarus, Go With The Flow, but I thought let's just leave Lazarus out of it now. Let the guy rest. Okay. Leave him be. So here's a powerful scripture. Okay, this, okay. Some help at the back there. Okay. Maybe it's not on. Maybe it's not on. It's not on. There we go. Okay, now it is on. Still getting used to this, folks. This will make things a bit easier in due course. Still getting to come to terms with it. All right, Zechariah 4, verse 6. Go with the flow. Then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Okay, might, most often referring to strength, physical strength. Power, most often referred to influence or control. And this is where we often find our default setting. You know, immediately we step into a situation and more often than not, our first attempt is one that is in our own strength. And we want to kind of, we want to change that. We want to get into the flow of the Holy Spirit. And that's going to require a few things, but we need to go and look at Scripture and see, but how does that work? How does that work? And here's a picture of who knows what that is, a water mill. Okay, here's a schematic that's a bit clearer. All right, and this is a picture that I got some years ago, just in terms of the Lord showing me an aspect of the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and where we could compare the church to the mill, the wheel, and then the Holy Spirit to the water that's flowing over it. All right, so it's the Holy Spirit that is the power that drives the church. What is the church meant to be? We are meant to be representatives of Christ in this earth. Okay? The church is the community of believers or Christians, little Christs. We are meant to represent be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. So we are meant to do what Jesus did. Now, Jesus didn't perform any miracles before his baptism when the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. Now, Jesus obviously had the Holy Spirit, like we have the presence of the Holy Spirit, but then he was anointed. And when he started his public ministry after that period of testing in the desert, he quoted from Isaiah 61 and he said, "Because the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor and heal the sick and cleanse the lepers." And he continues, and this is what we have been asked to do. We cannot do this in our own strength. If we were to do what Jesus did, if we have to look at Jesus' life, where he went, he performed wonders and miracles. It was by the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing that was on his life, to be able to do that. Now we have received the same Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And if we ask for it, we can receive the same power, the same anointing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'll talk more about that another time. But it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can continue the work of Christ. It's the church that needs to continue the work of Jesus Christ. And it's the Holy Spirit that directs the church of Jesus today. And it's the Holy Spirit that empowers the church of Jesus today. And so anything, if you want to try and do something in your own strength, it would be like removing yourself, the wheel, from that equation, and anything that you're going to do outside of that exact coordinate and position where the water can flow over the wheel will detract or, you know, basically nullify the work that is meant to happen there and the grinding of the grain and the wheat and so on that's happening in there. So we need to flow in the Holy Spirit, but there's a problem. Okay, let's go and look at what Paul says in Romans chapter 7 and chapter 8. We're going to take a few verses out of those two chapters. The problem is that although God says that us who are in Christ are new creations, referring specifically to the fact that our spirit has come alive, we have a new nature, a new purpose, a new direction, all of that with the indwelling spirit, but that old nature, the flesh, is still present in our soulish life with our will and our emotions. There's still some old desires, there's some old patterns, there's some old habits. You see, we are new creations. We are saved at that point of salvation, John chapter 3 and Romans chapter 10, confessing with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believing in our heart that God raised him from the dead. There we are saved, and should we die at any point after that, we will go to be with God in the fullness of his presence in heaven one day, and we look forward to that. But we are not made perfect in an instant. Only once we receive our resurrected bodies at the second coming of Christ, which I've got a strong prompting in my spirit that many of us will see that in our lifetime before we hit the grave. We must be ready. Whether Jesus is set to come in our lifetime or not, we must be ready every day. Because as for you and me, we don't know when our last day will be. Okay, it happens all the time. We had a tragic event about a week and a half ago. One of our rugby players at Franschhoek had committed suicide and due to certain circumstances in his life. And it's not for anyone to judge him, but just to say that we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen this afternoon, but we need to be ready. We need to be right with God. So walking in the Spirit is what we want to be doing, but the flesh is warring against the Spirit. Paul says, "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it difficult. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. Okay, yeah, in this first part that I'm sharing, we see Paul illustrating this dichotomy, these two sides, the good and the evil. Okay, he's alluding to doing what God wants, in other words, being obedient to the Holy Spirit, and then doing what the old man, the flesh, wants, and that these two war against each other. But he wants to do what is right. Like you and me as believers, we want to live righteously. We want to do what is right. But we still sometimes sin, don't we? We still mess up. We don't always do what Jesus did and what Jesus would do in any given situation. Now, let me just reiterate that point, is that, yes, we are saved, and God is not looking for perfection. He's looking for relationship. He's looking for relationship. None of us within ourselves are good. Without the grace of God in our lives, remove every bit of the grace of God. Even before we were saved, there was grace operating in our lives, preventing us from doing certain things and from dying. I don't know about you, but I can testify about many times before I was in relationship with Jesus where I should have died many times, and it's just God's grace that prevented me from dying. God had a plan for you before you were even born. He had a plan for you, and he worked and worked in your life even as the enemy was trying to work and work to try and keep you away from God and out of his plans and purposes. God was working to bring you to a point where you could receive him. You see, God draws people to him. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Jesus saves. So God was drawing us to him all this time, and he's been working in us. His grace at work in us. He's been protecting us from before we knew him. Don't think just now, because you made a decision to follow Jesus, now you enjoy the protection of the Lord. He's been with you always. There's nowhere you can go where God is not. He loves you. And so we have this problem of the flesh that sometimes gets the better of us. We know what Romans chapter 12 says, is, you know, and that's where every sin that we commit is birthed. It's birthed in our heads, in our minds. Before any sin is committed, it first enters the head. And you have made a decision, and we need to renew our minds. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You must spend time in the Word. You must feed your spirit. So if the two are at war, the stronger will win. You've got to feed your spirit, and you've got to starve the flesh. You know what that means to you. Maybe there's an area of your life where you're struggling. Well, don't unnecessarily bring yourself into a place of temptation. We looked at that the last time as well. Different areas of temptation. Eyes, lust, pride, all of these different areas. And even as God told Cain, why is your face fallen? And watch out, sin is crouching at the door. As soon as you take your eyes off Jesus, as soon as you starve yourself of the Word of God, sin is lying in wait at the door. And we need to watch out. You got to feed the Spirit. Make yourself strong. We continue here, verse 23 of chapter 7. But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Sorry, that was cut off. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. 8 verse 1, very important. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I find that it's so important just to stress this verse right now. There's people, many people that I know that struggle with condemnation. And I just want to encourage you, again, we all fault, we all sin from time to time. The key thing is that we stay in relationship with the Lord. And it's not by our own strength that we're going to overcome any sin. It's by allowing God to continue working in us. He will empower us to be able to overcome. So whether you do good, it's not you. And Paul says it's just a matter of fact that you will do bad from time to time. But if you are in Christ, if you are in relationship with God, you are not under condemnation. Condemnation is not from God. So if you're listening to that voice that is telling you, you know good, God no longer accepts you. That is the voice of the enemy. Do not listen to it. There is no condemnation when you're in relationship with God. I've spent a lot of time with people that have struggled with this this thing of having committed the unpardonable sin, okay? That is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. But that is not what they've done. But that's been a classic lie of the enemy who try and get believers to walk away from God, thinking that there's no more redemption for them. Now, we need to understand what that is, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. That's the equivalent of if Jesus was standing in front of you and you knew it was Jesus, and he says, I love you, come with me, you know, or don't do this and whatever, and you in his face reject him and choose to walk away. It's the equivalent of that. And I know there's none of us that would do that. Yes, we've all sinned. In moments of weakness, we've sinned. But what we are not saying, Jesus, I hate you and whatever, that's not what we're saying. We've just fallen. And we get back up and we repent. We're sorry for what we've done. We didn't want to do that, but like what Paul said in chapter 7, he says, sometimes you do the things you hate. None of us purpose, tomorrow, that is Monday, I want to go out and sin. How many of us have said that? No. Yes, it happens, but we don't purpose and plan to do that like, well, you know, next week, the last week of every month is sin week, where I can just do what I want, and then for 3 weeks, I'm really going to live perfectly and righteously, and, you know, then still, the scales are looking good, you know, tipped in the one's favor. No, none of us do that. Even if you purpose to go a week without sin, guaranteed you will sin in that week. But neither do you purpose to go out and deliberately sin. You don't do that. You have not committed the unpardonable sin. You have not blasphemed the Holy Spirit. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And very important, if we look at the next verse, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. So this battle, that guilt that we experience when we sin, Jesus has already paid the price for that. So that for the believer, the gift to us is no guilt in life and no fear in death. Okay, Jesus paid the price so that I don't have to walk around with a massive 50-ton load of guilt of the sin that I've committed even since coming to Christ. I don't have to walk around with that. I won't be able to do anything. He has paid the price for that. He's conquered sin and death at the cross. He's paid the price so that we can be free. Free to love him, free to serve him, free to come back to him after we've messed up. And because I don't experience that guilt, there's no condemnation. Because there's no condemnation, I don't have to fear death. if I had to walk around with guilt, if I had to fear death, what would the purpose have been of Jesus coming to the cross? What good father wants their child to suffer the whole life with guilt and with fear for what could happen? No, you want what God wants us to experience is peace, is joy, is freedom, is life. Right. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Okay. So this is the key. What I'm saying this morning is not issuing some kind of license to sin. That's not what I'm saying. What Paul does say, yes, he messes up, but there's no condemnation because his purpose and what he's doing is walking in relationship with God. He's walking in the Spirit. That is what he purposes to do. Still, when he sins, it's obvious he missed the Spirit there. The Spirit doesn't lead him into sin, okay? He's missed it there. But he gets back on the horse. That is the key. And you can go and look at a lot of motivational videos and everything, and it boils down to one thing: don't give up. Don't give up. And it's the same in the kingdom. God says to you, don't give up. So you've messed up. We all have. So what? What are you going to do now? Are you going to get up? Are you going to go back to God? Or are you going to run away? Are you going to submit to the lies of the enemy? What are you going to do? You better get back on that horse. You follow hard after God. Let us stay in the Spirit. Let that be our purpose. Let that be our plan and our pursuit, is that we stay in the Spirit. We're going to look more at that in a minute. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Again, so the Bible teaches us we must set our minds on the things above and not below. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Take our eyes off of our challenges, off of our problems, off of ourself. He's God, not us. We must stop looking in the mirror and thinking we're so great and we've made it happen and we've arrived. We've done nothing. As I said, take all the grace of God that He's endowed us with over our whole life, and we are completely depraved. Everything that we are, everything that's good in us, is from God. And we need Him. We need to keep our minds on things above. Philippians 4 says that in all things we mustn't be anxious, but in everything we must, with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, make our requests known to God. And then the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds. Okay? Will guard your emotions, will guard your thoughts. That peace, keep your mind on things above. Keep your mind focused on what the Spirit is doing. We must take our minds off of the flesh. He says there, but to set the mind in the Spirit is life and peace. When you're in constant communication with God, you're putting off anxiety and you're praying. Praying with thanksgiving, very important. So your focus is on God, you're busy talking to Him, and your focus is also on everything God's already done for you. You are grateful. So you're remembering what God has done for you. Your focus, your mind is on Christ, then the peace of God. So to focus on the Spirit is life and peace. Who doesn't want peace? Who doesn't want peace in bucket loads? We all want peace. It's when peace is lacking that we don't sleep well, that we start worrying. That's not God's plan for us. Verse 7, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Verse 14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Likewise, skip to verse 26, the Spirit helps in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words, and he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Okay. Go with the flow. Walk in the Spirit. The Spirit is there to help us. Just a few practical pointers. Just a few. How do we practically walk in the Spirit? Now, the things of God are not complicated so that only a few people would be able to understand it and execute it. It is simple. Back to basics. That's what we have to do if we want to win in any game or whatever. That's what you have to do when you want to win in life. That's what you have to do when you want to walk in the Spirit. You got to get the basics right. Keep the main thing the main thing. Okay, so walking in the Spirit. Remember, not by might nor by power. First point I want to make, I'm making 3 points. I could make a lot more, but it's easier for us to remember and maybe go and apply. Firstly, to listen. Okay, this is something that we all struggle with. Some maybe more than others, all right? I have my fair share. But to listen. What do they say? You've been given 2 ears and 1 mouth. That should give you the percentages right there. You should listen twice as much as what you need to speak. Okay, so James 4 verse 8, and we mentioned that, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. It's about positioning. Remember the picture of the water mill? That mill is working. Whatever they're grinding inside is being ground because that mill is in position where the water can flow over it through that channel. But if you had to move that mill, 1 meter to the right or left on its axis, that water that's coming down that little funnel is not going to do anything anymore, and that mill is going to be stationary. Okay, we need to position ourselves. You need to practice the presence of God. Okay, you need to get into his, welcomed you into his presence through the blood of Jesus. But some of us are more often than not operating outside the presence of God. We're going away from where God is at, where he's speaking, where he wants to speak to you. We're actually running away. We're escaping, and we escape to all sorts of things. Because maybe we, in our minds, we experience that as a quicker fix. I'm just going to find a little bit of joy in the bottom of that bottle. I'm going to find a little bit of peace hanging around those people or away from this or that. Temporary. Empty. We need to get to where God is at. We need to position ourselves. We need to draw near to him. Okay, so his promise is he's right there. If we care, he is right there. He hasn't run away. We're the ones that run away. Okay? If you want to walk in the Spirit and fulfill God's requirements of righteousness, okay, again, not perfection, but if you want to walk in the Spirit and fulfill what God expects of us so that we can make it to the finish line, that we can fulfill our calling, you're not going to fulfill your calling in the flesh. You're not going to complete in the flesh what God started in the Spirit. If we're going to continue to walk in the Spirit, okay, we need to spend time with God. We need to spend time listening. We need to practice that. That becomes a habit. It becomes a culture. It becomes a lifestyle where we are continuously in tune to what the Spirit, that we're always ready, that we're always available, that we are sensitive. That word came through this morning as well, that we are sensitive to what the Lord is saying. That the Lord is so real to you, and that you know He's always with you. When you're walking around, you're just so aware, you're so consciously aware that God is with you all the time. And that there, within you, there is always an expectation that He can speak to you right now. And then you stop and you listen. You don't leave God in your bedroom when you go off to work. God is here in the gathering of the believers, but He doesn't just stay here. He goes with you when you go out. And He wants to continue talking to you. So always be expectant. Always be aware that He's with you. So have a listening ear. Maybe take one of your ears and dedicate it to the Lord. Hey? You can put the other one for people. Yo, that's a revelation. I just got that now. Okay. That's why we have two ears. Okay. One is for God. Give God your good ear. If you've got a bit deaf in your one ear, give Him the other one. Psalm 27 verse 14 says, wait for the Lord, be strong, let your heart take courage, wait for the Lord. Okay, that's not a passive thing, it's active, waiting on the Lord. It's not like I'm going to wait for the Lord and you pass out on the couch, fast asleep. Yes, God can give you dreams, but He also wants to talk to you in other ways. Okay. Spending time in Scripture and meditating on the Word of God, that's also an active form of waiting. God wants to speak to us through Scripture. Every time you open the Bible, God speaks to you, does He not? Every single time. Wait for Him. And don't play Bible roulette, you know, where you just put your finger and then what does it say? Okay, I don't even have to repeat that. So, wait for the Lord. Okay, listen, that's the first point. The second point there, trust. Okay, no good listening and you get a lot of information. Okay, but you don't trust it and you don't trust the one that's coming from. Right, it's a faith issue. We need to trust. Psalm 20 verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, the flesh, the natural, the physical, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Do you trust Him? Do you have a reason to trust Him? I believe you do. Each one of us. If we pray about it, if we think about it, we can name times, probably many, where the Lord has come through for us. Where we've tried things in our own strength, where we've run ahead in the flesh, and God has then come through for us, brought us back to the right path. We can trust Him. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart at full surrender. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means without doubting. As soon as we let doubt creep in, we're not going to fulfill what He's asked us to do. We're not going to get the full reward. It's not going to happen. Because you veer off course by one degree, you're not going to end up at the same place. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. It's that place where, again, you're so aware that He's with you every step of the way. So in everything you do, the Word says that we should give glory to God in everything we do. Do you commit every day to Him? Do you trust Him every day? That He's got a plan for you. He's got something in store for you. He's got divine appointments lined up for you. He's got favor in every relationship and conversation and business dealing for you. Are you acknowledging Him in all your ways? Maybe you've got a testimony here today of how God has come through for you. When you even acknowledge Him in the day-to-day, even in the small things. Man, in Franschhoek, we don't have so much of a problem with this, but in Stellenbosch, it's a massive problem. It's called parking. All right. It's better now. They've got some parking arcades and whatever. But let me tell you, this was 12 years ago when I had to come into town. I worked just a little bit outside of town, well, at Prochorus there. And when I had to come in over lunch or whatever, and I had to get something or make a pickup, then, you know, it'd be maybe in the mall. Now, you try and find parking in the mall. Now, my wife's got a lot of faith. Her motto is people don't live at the mall. Okay, so that means if she waits long enough, someone's going to pull out. All right. But now you've got a problem in Stenhouse. You keep riding around the block and you might just miss that parking every time. I don't have time for that. So approaching, coming into Stellenbosch, I'm like, Lord, thank you for a parking place. It sounds trivial, but hey, acknowledge him in everything. All right. He will help you. He will make your path straight. He will open your parking bay. All right. And I come and I promise you, you know, God was so faithful. How many times did he not give me a parking right in front of the door that it had to be a miracle? Okay. In Stellenbosch, this is impossible. All right. How many times did he not answer that prayer and give me a park when I didn't have time to drive around and whatever? There's people waiting and whatever. And he gives me a spot right there. Just acknowledge him, trust him. I don't want to say try it, because he loves you and you love him. You don't try Jesus, but just do it, okay? Just do a Nike 1:1. Just do it. And then finally, be courageous. Be courageous. Okay, so you've listened, you've heard. Okay, you trust him. Now it's going to take some courage to actually go and execute what God has asked you to do. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, God has given us a spirit, not of fear, but of power, of love, and of self-control. No fear. All right? That's got to be a Christian logo, no fear. Because, you know, I put on a brave face before I knew the Lord, but I realized after I got saved that I had a ton of fear in my life that God just lifted off of me. It's only Christians that can truly say no fear. It only should be Christians wearing those t-shirts. No fear. If you see someone wearing that t-shirt again, say, hey, are you a Christian? If the guy says no, they say, take that shirt off. You need Jesus. If you don't want to fear, you better get with Jesus. Yeah, I'm serious. Okay. Right, here's a great example. There's many examples in the Bible, but look at David. David and Goliath. The chapter before David and Goliath, you will find this verse in chapter 16 of 1 Samuel. It says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, that's David, in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. When David ran at Goliath with the 5 pebbles, he had the Spirit of the Lord all over him. He was walking in the Spirit. Okay. And there was no room for fear. Everyone else, okay, they did not have the Spirit and they ran in the other direction. We need the Spirit. Today is Pentecost. Today we remember also what happened at Acts chapter 2 and from that day forward. And it was not just for that time. It's not just in the book of Acts that we read about the Spirit. There was an example from the Old Testament. And we experience the Spirit today. We experience even this morning how the Lord spoke. There's many people and churches that would believe, but the working of the Spirit was only for that time in the book of Acts. It's only then that we can identify certain miracles and whatever. Excuse me, there's people here sitting here today that can testify of many miracles that God has performed by His Spirit. It was not only for that time. I can testify many miracles being led by the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit's work in and through us. And so when we read about the gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that is as applicable today as it ever was in the book of Acts. And we see Peter, who despite wanting to do what's right and telling Jesus, Lord, you know, I will die with you, but then denying him 3 times. But after he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the upper room in Jerusalem, he came out and preached the gospel with fire so that over 3,000 people were added to the church that day. And they were brought before authorities, and he did the same, telling them that the Jesus that they crucified, he's the King of Kings. Be courageous. We need the Spirit. We need to walk in the Spirit. Listen, trust. Be courageous. Can we stand this morning? I'd just like to close for us in prayer. Yes, Lord. Lord, you're so good to us, your children, that you didn't leave us as orphans, Lord, but you gave us your Spirit. Thank you, Lord God, that we can experience that empowerment, Lord. That being a Christian today, it's not being weak, but Lord, it's that power to overcome. It's that ability to stand courageous in the face of adversity. We have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that yes, you have given us, in human terms, impossible callings and mission to complete. But Lord, we thank you that you've also supernaturally endowed us with your Spirit, so that we can walk in supernatural life, that we can accomplish for your name's sake and bring glory unto you. Lord, we all struggle with the flesh from time to time, but we thank you, Lord God, that you have set us free, free from condemnation, free from guilt, free from shame, free from fear. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that you do not demand perfection from us. We acknowledge that is what you deserve, Lord, but you do not demand it from us. All you're asking is for us to cooperate with you, for us to stay in relationship with you, for us to walk with you, to be attentive to your Spirit's guidance. And that when we fall, when we mess up, because we will, Lord, that we get back up and come straight to you and allow you to come and restore us again so that we can continue. I pray for anyone here this morning that is struggling with guilt, that is struggling with condemnation, that is busy walking away from God because of feelings of unworthiness, inadequacy. I pray for them this morning that you would strengthen them in their hearts and in their faith. Lord God, that you will bless them with just showers of your love, Lord, that you will embrace them and hold them fast. Lord, that you'll show them, Lord, give them revelation once more of your forgiveness and your grace, and that you'll draw them back, Lord. Pray that they'll just lay down, Lord, just those lies and that doubt and that self-pity, and that they'll just come back to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for your Spirit. Holy Spirit, minister to us, lead us, direct us. Lord God, we trust in you. Help us to be courageous. Help us to be strong in this battle. Grant us a desire and a love for your word, for your presence. I just want to pray for anyone this morning that's struggling, that's not sure what the next step is. If you think of your your life's journey the last while, it doesn't resemble a straight path, but more of a crooked one. And I want to pray that God will just help bring you back on the right path. If there's anyone like that, you can come forward. If you feel that you've strayed, you're struggling with that guilt and condemnation, please come forward. We'd love to pray for you. There'll be people at the front to pray as well. And second group is, if you have not made that commitment yet to Jesus, and you don't know His plans for your life, you find yourself just tied up in all kinds of sin and just feeling weak and weary and heavily burdened, well, the Lord invites you to come to Him. He says that in Matthew, and he says, come to me, all ye who are burdened and heavy laden. I will give you rest for your souls. So if you find but you don't have peace, you know that your relationship with God is not right, then please come forward. We'd love to introduce you to Jesus, and He will give you peace, and He will give you rest for your souls. He's the only one that can save you from hell. Only Jesus. So please come forward if that is you. We're going to just close with a song of worship, and then we'll be praying for the people at the front. Thank you so much for being here this morning, especially if you're visiting this morning. So great to have you here. Please come again. And please enjoy some fellowship before you go home. There's lovely Turbador coffee, Franschhoek's finest.